McLean County's testing positivity rate is falling, even as more cases pile up. COVID's pull across the region, though, could bring us back into trouble.
The most impactful change starts locally.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, July 31st. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with West Central Illinois, just a few days away from implementing new COVID-19 restrictions if trends don't begin to reverse. Governor J.B. Pritzker visited Peoria and Ottawa yesterday to drive home how the region is teetering on the brink of regressing backward. Peoria and LaSalle counties are two hotspots in Region 2 that stretches from Rock Island to Bloomington.
The most impactful change starts locally. I'll be frank. We need to see some change here in the Peoria area when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic.
As of Wednesday, Region 2 had a 4.3% positivity rate, with 7 days straight of increases and a 3-day increase in hospitalization rates. The criteria for implementing new restrictions include an increase in positivity rates for 7 out of 10 consecutive days, plus a sustained 7-day increase in hospital admissions. New restrictions would be implemented region-wide, but individual counties within the region would have some wiggle room to narrowly tailor restrictions to areas that are driving their localized spikes, such as bars, offices, or outdoor sports. McLean County, meanwhile, reported 18 new cases yesterday. We now have 80 active cases. That's the most ever. It came even as McLean County's testing positivity rate declined again, down to 1.8%. That is lower than the regional, statewide, and national averages. Statewide, Illinois reported 1,700 new cases yesterday, a 2-month high. Illinois Public Health Director Dr. Ngaze Ezike called for continued vigilance.
We are not tone deaf to the struggles that people are facing and the desire to just get back to normal. But we ask you to be as safe as possible as we learn to coexist with COVID.
Bloomington's drive-through testing site remains open every day from 9 to 5. Tested over 600 people on average every day this week. That is a new record. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. More Illinois Democrats are publicly urging House Speaker Michael Madigan to resign. Madigan has been implicated in a bribery scheme involving the utility ComEd. Congressman Darren LaHood says he supports the federal government providing another stimulus package, including extended unemployment benefits, but he argues those benefits should be capped at $200 or $300 per week. And McLean County is making strides on increasing access to physicians and dental care, but lower-income patients aren't seeing the same progress. That's according to a new report on the county's Community Health Improvement Plan. And more on these stories at WGLT.org. Illinois State University is removing the names of Martin Van Buren, Henry Clay, Thomas Jefferson, and others who served as early secretaries of state in the U.S. from floors in Watterson Towers. That's the university's largest dorm. ISU President Larry Dietz tells Charlie Schlenker the change flows from the national dialogue on race that revived as part of the response to the police killing of George Floyd.
First of all, it's the right thing to do. They've been on there for a while. We have not had this issue before, but we have this motto at the university of gladly we learn and teach. And my, approach to this is that we have learned that as students have brought this to our attention and housing folks have been working on this, and then we had some alums who were former resident assistants themselves. So, we did some research and found out that indeed a high percentage of those did, and we learned more. And so,
8 out of 10 are involved with slavery, but they're also founding fathers. How do you place that in context?
Yeah, I think the historical context, the history is being a bit relearned right now, I would say. And I don't know if it's being erased. I understand that some people might consider that, but I think that as we learn more about some of the past leaders, that we need to put it in the context of what's going on currently. And I think, the recommendations came forth that we remove the names given their involvement with slavery, and I just think it's the right thing to do, and I think the recommendations were appropriate. We referred it on to the naming committee that came back upholding the recommendations that had come forward and said the name should be removed, and so that's what we're planning to do.
What should replace the names? How should they be renamed?
I think that's going to be open for discussion. What we have to do, in my estimation, more quickly before school starts again, is to remove the names and replace them with some kind of direction finders, if nothing else, for emergency personnel. And that may very well happen until we've had more meaningful discussions about what should be a better solution to all of that.
Prominent Yale historian, World War I historian Jay Winter, who visited ISU about 5 years ago, said this is going to continue to be an issue as long as a society celebrates martial and military and masculine kinds of figures. How should we avoid that as a culture, do you think?
I think that trying to be as aware as we can be around the context of history at the time as to why the economy was based a good deal of it upon the slave trade. But we're an evolving society, and we're a relatively young society. We don't think of that very often, but we're hardly an adolescent in the whole world culture. We've had centuries of going through growing pains, and we're going through more right now. So, the best thing we can do is learn from our history, but also look to the future and be a lot more sensitive to the context that we're all living in now. And who knows, 40 years from now, people may look back and say, well, they missed this. They should have taken a little different tact on something else. But I think these symbols and are very important. Language is very important. And so I think this is coming more true today than it perhaps has been in a long time. And again, I think once you find out that there's something that needs to be fixed, that we try to do our best to correct it and move on with a heightened sense of sensitivity.
It's ISU President Larry Dietz speaking with Charlie Schlenker. Before we let you go, the musicians Emily Hope and V8 Vast Change will perform tonight at the Hope for Change Outdoor Concert at the Miller Park Bandstand. It starts at 6. Oh, and one last thing. This summer, it has sucked. Let's just be honest. It's been not good. You may have picked up on that on this year's podcast. But my wife pointed out to me last night that we've had at least 3 really good things happen to our family this summer. Our daughter learned how to ride a bike. Both our kids learned how to swim, thanks to Grandma and Grandpa. And now they're learning how to play t-ball. So, 3 good things. And I'm betting we could find some more. If you've had something truly good happen to you this summer, can you let us know? Send us a note at news@wglt.org. Maybe you got engaged, or mom beat cancer, or you bought a new house, you finally painted your bedroom. Whatever it is, let us know and we can tell the world together. Because boy, do we need it. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at wglt.org.